All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Dave from St. Louis, what is your first memory of Greasy Jungle?
Well, I know part of the thing that you're going for in the podcast, or at least one of the questions you have, is what is the first song that you heard by the Hip? And even though that night in May of 95, I didn't know any of their songs, I'm 99.9% sure that Greasy Jungle was probably the first one that stuck out to me, purely because I love the part from the chorus, the and I remember that from that night. So that's what sticks out to me, is the first time I heard Greasy Jungle was actually the first time I saw them in concert.
Hey, it's JD here, and I'm ready to go. The Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown is now underway. Week over week, we're going to count down the 40 essential tracks by the Hip that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a VHS copy of Top Gun that keeps rewinding itself to the volleyball scene. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by the Tragically Hip superfan, Bill Walischka, direct from Kingston. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day, Bill?
Oh, I'm doing great. Always great to catch up with you and speak to you, though, because like I said before, any chance to further the boys' legacy, and you're doing a great job with that, I'm all in support of.
Yeah, we've both been flying the flag, because you recently hosted two nights at the Isabel Bader Auditorium, correct?
Yeah, the Performing Arts Theater. They screened the first two episodes of the Hip Doc series, and Mike Downey was present, Jake Gold, first manager, now present manager, and who else was there? Well, Gord, Sinclair, Rob Baker, and Paul Langwall were there, and so we screened it. And then I moderated a Q&A both nights. It was amazing.
That is. And they raised a hell of a lot of money as well, right?
$80,000 for the United Way for the Kingston area, and that money stays here.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I love about their boys, is that penchant to give back. And they've been doing it from day one, not just Kingston, but around Canada, around the world. They've lent their name and their time to many, many charitable causes and issues. And you got to love them for that. And most of the time they do it quietly and don't jump up and down saying, look what we did. They just do it. They go in and they do it quietly.
I remember Roadside Attraction in 93 when the whole lineup put out a track for Clackwat Sound, I think it was called Land?
In BC, yeah.
In BC, yeah. But that was done very quietly as well. Like, the fact that you had the Tragically Hip and Midnight Oil and several other bands on, you know, doing one track, I thought that would have been just a monster, you know? And yet, you have to get people scratching their heads to think about it.
Well, Rob Baker told me years ago, and it's a funny story, and it sort of deflates sort of their character. And I'm going to share it just because I think it's a funny story. But from day one, when they first started performing at the mansion, which is not the mansion, the manor here in Kingston, which no longer exists, they were this hot Kingston bar band. They had a big buzz around them. They were packing the club every night. And of course, a lot of friends and family would show up wanting free tickets. And the band realized a long time ago that, you know what, we're going to do a benefit. This show is going to be a benefit, so no free tickets, everybody pays. And that was sort of the reason where they wanted to give back. And it was an excuse, basically, that, okay, no guest lists, no free tickets, everybody pays. Because where would they draw the line?
That's right.
Here at their hometown, just starting out. And so they develop this habit of giving back with shows, whether it's a local food bank, they ask people to bring non-perishable food items, or, you know, lending their time to Live 8, for instance. There's just, they've had this long history of doing so, but the oranges of them giving back, it's almost for simplicity reasons. Everybody pays. It's a benefit.
Well, let's go back to your day one. Let's go back and revisit a time before you knew the Tragically Hip, that day that you discovered them faithfully. What was that all about?
First year of college, 1986. I'm dating myself. What the hell? You can't fight it forever.
Yeah.
But first year of college, I had a radio shift on CRSC. It was our closed circuit, Seneca College radio station, campus station. And that year, coming across that first EP and falling in love with it. And then eventually, you know, getting a job at Much the week I graduated as an editor in 1988, seeing the videos for Small Town Bring Down, for Last American Exit, and just, you know, visually putting together with the audio that I already loved, a little bit of a better picture of this band.
Right.
And that was the beginning of my love affair with the Hip, which still lasts to this day. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about working at Much is I had the pleasure of interviewing every person I was ever a fan of. And of course, learning about new bands that I didn't know, and started interviewing the guys in the mid 90s. And probably have interviewed them more than anyone in the world, I would think, all these years later, looking back. But it wasn't until moving to Kingston 12 years ago for a television job that I really started to solidify and renew acquaintances and friendships with all the guys and their families. And it's been very rewarding, and I'm humbled by it. And I know I'm very blessed to, you know, call the guys friends and their families friends, all the while still being a huge Hip fan, which is weird sometimes.
That must be a strange dichotomy, right? Like, you know, you're sitting there just having a chat with Paul over a beer or something like that, and then it dawns on you, holy fuck, I'm having a beer with Paul Langlois right now.
You know what's funny is you know, having a drink with Paul or whoever, you know, noticing that ring that I've seen him for years play the guitar with. And it's like sitting across from, oh, there's that ring that I remember seeing in videos and live performances. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that would.
But like little weird little connections like that over the years.
Oh, wow. What were your experiences like once you determined that you were a fan? So obviously you got to see everything pretty much in real time. At what point did you know that this wasn't your secret band? Because I have this weird feeling that every Canadian, you know, sort of treasures them as though they're the biggest fan. And I don't mean that in a negative kind of way at all, but like everyone really cleaves to them and has their, you know, their own story.
As they should. And not just Canadians, people around the world as
absolutely. Well. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. You are totally right. Like, I'm going to be interviewing somebody from Scotland for this project. I'm going to be interviewing somebody from the Netherlands, I believe, if I can lock that one down. So we'll see. It is fascinating to see. Australia is one. There's one in Australia.
Well, it's funny because during the screening, Jake Gold, who was there from day one, you know, after the screening here in Kingston at the Isabel Bader, it was the second episode, they talked about this. You know, they've been tagged with this thing for years. Oh, you're doing great in Canada. How come you can't make it in the US?
Yeah.
One of my questions to Jake on stage was like, I never understood that debate, that issue with the Hip. Because there were many assignments over the years where I'd interview them in Cleveland or New York State or LA. So many places. And the places were jammed with crazy, frenetic fans. And I said to Jake, like, oh, I don't understand why we're still talking about it to this day. And he goes, it's frankly, it's your guys' fault, the media's fault, for constantly bringing it up. And I said, well, Jake, I never brought it up, but I was a witness to it. And it really bothered me, and still does all these years, that people say, well, you know, you didn't really make it in the U.S. Holy crap, did they ever make it in the U.S.?
I've seen them, it would kill to have their career in the U.S.
I've seen them in Chicago, and, you know, it just blows me away just to this day. No, they have huge hardcore fan base in the U.S. and pockets all over the U.S. where they do extremely well. And, yeah, and I think the band was just sick of it after a few years hearing from people. I think the Bare Naked Ladies dealt with that for years. Until they had, you know.
Until 1 week. Or one no, week. Brian Wilson Live.
Eventually,
on that
yeah.
record, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So how many times have you seen them live, like at this point? Like, I mean, I'm guessing Perks of the Gig, you saw them a number of times, but as a...
As a fan, every as single a fan. Time, yeah.
Wow.
I want to say, I don't know, maybe 15 times over the years, which is nowhere near some of the numbers
that
other fans have seen.
They're
them
like 40, 50, 100. Yeah.
Yeah, 15 is nothing.
I'm right around there too, Bill. And I thought I was like a special individual at one point. And then you meet people. I came to Toronto. I'm from a small town. And I came to Toronto, and all of a sudden it was like, it wasn't a secret. The Hip were like the biggest band going. But my little small town, it had barely, you know, it's a classic rock radio station. So when Road Apples came out, they played the hell out of it. But I was, I got turned on to it by a friend up to here. He had seen them at the Forum, I want to say, the Ontario Place Forum.
Wow. Yeah.
And he fell in love, and yeah, the rest is history. But
it's funny. One of the last times I've seen them, it was the fully completely reunion tour where they did the album top to bottom.
Yes. Yes.
And a friend of mine in Toronto, also a huge Hip fan. Anyway, I got us tickets and for here in Kingston, then the K-Rock place. And he's always getting me Chicago tickets when they come to Toronto. I'm a Chicago Blackhawks fan. So I thought, I'm going to do Jeff a favor. Okay, Jeff, I got his tickets. They're pretty good. As we're walking up to the venue, he looks at these tickets. He goes, yeah, these are good seats. Give me a second. He takes them, walks over to a scalper. They talk, comes back. He goes, no, these are good tickets. I'm looking at them like front row center floors.
What?
Like looking up at them. Jeff's like that. He's weird. But at the end of the show, you know, and like any Hip show, it's an amusement park ride. Yeah. It was a beautiful, beautiful night. And at the end of the show, they come out and they, you know, stand at the tip of the stage. So basically you're looking up at them like this. And then Johnny Fay walks over to the edge to hand out his drumsticks. And he sees me and he goes, Bill. And he hands me the two drumsticks.
Ah.
And the people behind me are like, that's not fair, man. You know him. That's not fair. What am I going to do? I took the drumsticks and I handed them back to the people behind me.
Oh, what a gentleman.
Well, to this day, Jeff says to me, you're such a fucking idiot. I wanted those drumsticks. It's funny because then we saw Johnny at a pub like 2 hours later, and he sat. Bought us drinks. So I go, okay, Jeff, what would you want more? Free drinks from Johnny or his drumsticks? Jeff says, no, I'd want the drumsticks still.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, just getting to, I've got a chance to chat with each of them, with the exception of Gord Downey. And yeah, they're all just so lovely, you know?
They are beautiful human beings.
Yeah. Like you're waiting to hear something like a skeleton in the closet or something like that, just because it seems like everybody disappoints these days at some point, you know, but here we are 40 years in and, like you said, they're family guys and, you know, they moved back or they stayed rather in some cases, to their roots and that community. And that's really special.
All the boys come from great families. And prominent Kingstonians in some cases, of course, Baker's judge or father was a judge and, they all come from good stock. And I think, that helped them, become who they were as people, just beautiful people. I can't say it any more succinctly than that. And, an honor to call them friends.
Very cool. Should we flip the record and listen to the track of the week?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, we'll find out right after this.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
35. Ah. It is the second track and fifth single from the 1992 masterpiece, Fully, Completely. Bill from Kingston, we are talking about Looking for a Place to Happen. What are your initial thoughts about this song?
A little late to the party, falling in love with this track. It wasn't It wasn't the week it was released. It might have been years later. And this is the beautiful thing about the Hips catalog. You know, good luck picking your 10 favorite Hip songs.
Right.
Problem with that is it changes, constantly changes. There are new songs that you know, I'm on a Pigeon Camera kick right now. And to me, it's one of the greatest songs they've ever done. But it didn't really register the first time I heard it. It wasn't until years later. And this is the beautiful thing about their catalog, like I said, is you catch moments of brilliance in every song. And sometimes it takes years for it to register. But when it does, it's like, okay, this is why I love this band so much. And Looking for a Place to Happen was like that. It was a slow burn. And then one day it hit me. It was like, holy crap. You know, never mind the musicianship. It was Gord's lyrics that, you know, it wasn't really until 2016 where we heard Gord become outspoken about Indigenous issues. But
that's right. Yeah.
This song shows that it was on his mind for years.
It's in the DNA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he can thank Mike Downey for bringing that to his attention years ago.
Right.
With the story of Chaney Wenjack. But Looking for a Place to Happen, on one level, it's, you know, it's about Jacques Cartier discovering Canada. And I love how Gord sort of draws a parallel between Jacques Cartier exploring this new land and draws a parallel between showing up at a party, you know, throw your coat up on the bed like you do at a party,
yeah,
a house party, throw your. And what Gord does in the lyrics is reminds people, you know, no, you're not the first to show. We've been here for
God who knows.
For God who knows.
Yeah.
Talking about the Indigenous in Canada way before Canada was settled. And it's that little bit of a glimpse into Gord's psyche, keeping in mind Indigenous issues and that they were here before us. But the way he draws a parallel to showing up at a party.
Yes.
You know, just brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, what I take from Pigeon Camera is he draws a parallel between, you know, this family getting this bird home and then it flies away and doesn't matter how much training they can give it, it just wanted to fly away. And relating it to a fictitious tale about one of his sisters. Doesn't matter how much training, she's going to go away. And, you know, and it just, I love how Gord does that with songs. He does that in so many ways. He's a brilliant lyricist.
It's really, going back to the docuseries for a moment,
I've only seen the first two episodes, by the way, so.
Oh, I won't give it away. It's in the first two
spoilers.
Episodes. But okay. Showing Gord's writing process with his notebook, basically, right? Like, just keeping everything in this notebook and like little phrases, little bits, little turns of phrase. And then, you know, when they're jamming, he consults that. And next thing you know, you've got Looking for a Place to Happen, for God's sake.
Well, Mike was telling me a few years ago how Gord would, you know, you'd be having a conversation with Gord and, you know, his brother. I don't know what they were talking about. Maybe it was over Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, Mike would say something and Gord would stop and wander away and write something down. And then Mike said that it's like, wow, I just got journaled. So cool. Like, you know, if you ever had a chance, you know, not very many people can say this, but talking with Gord Downey and all of a sudden he'll wander away and write something down. Might have been a memory that you said that triggered him or something you said that he could work with. Unfortunately, it's never happened to me, but I could understand Mike's joy when he realized he was journaled.
He'd been journaled. Yeah. On Discovering Downey, we have a lost episode. We interviewed Niles Spencer and Kevin Drew. And we never...
Oh, Niles from the Bathhouse.
That's right. Yeah. And we never released the episode, but there's a really fun anecdote in it where Kevin talks about going to this studio and there's fiberglass on the outside of the studio, like insulation. And so somebody in the group says, you know, be careful, don't let that touch you. And then they went into the studio and 10 minutes later, Gord's belting out, don't let it touch you from Secret Path, right? Like he writes that song. Like what a talent.
You know, singer songwriter almost makes it sound like an insult. No, he's a poet. He's an artist,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, agreed.
His love of words, his love of connecting things. It fed him for years.
I have to guess, like you had some experiences with him, but I have to guess that he was a curious person, like somebody that would.
Very thoughtful, you know, very thoughtful, very well-read to the point where you were almost intimidating to, it was intimidating to get into a conversation with him because he was just so far ahead in terms of where his headspace was at, what he was thinking, what he was trying to relate, that, you know, having casual conversations was just easier to get through in some cases with Gord, let alone having to interview him and get into that headspace.
Right.
Probably one of the most intimidating people in terms of an artist, being an artist, that I have ever met.
Wow. And you've met a litany of people.
Yeah. Bowie. I put Bowie up there on that level as well.
Just something about him.
Just so well-read, so intelligent, giving, passionate. Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so grateful that.
Destined to be, to go through this life offering a beautiful gift.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that, you know, we got to be part of this gift in, you know, in some small way. I mean, there's 11 million people that experienced it with us on the national celebration. That's quite a few people, and that doesn't include the people around the world that were watching. So
yeah, and how many new fans did they? I think immediately after that concert, all your favorites started selling again.
That's right.
You know, it charted again for a while. So how many new fans, new generations, picked up on the band's brilliance from that one tour?
Well, I know my daughters really loved that Anne with an E show. That was the CBC show. And Netflix, I believe. And it opened, its opening credits were ahead by a century. And so they knew that song before they knew it was the Tragically Hip. Like, they just knew this. Well, they probably knew the Tragically Hip before that because I play it a lot.
Great. Great.
Well, Bell, it's been an absolute blast talking to you today. Is there anything at all that you would like to plug or have people track you down anywhere on the internet or anything like that?
My autobiography came out last year.
And Paul wrote the foreword.
Paul Langlois did the foreword, yeah.
That's right.
I might well up a little bit. Like, that's how much I love the guys, and that's how giving they are, and that's how beautiful they are as human beings. But, BillWalichka.ca for more information about me. Visitors to Kingston, there's lots of little hip touchstones that you can experience. Most recently, the hip sign out in front of Slush Puppy Place. They unveiled it at the Isabel Bader a few weeks ago, the screening. So they're like the giant THEHP. Don't worry, no one kicked over the eye. That's where you stand to get your picture. And so that's new. But Rob Baker's always at the Queen's Gales home football games. I see him every home game. You know, the beautiful thing about Kingston and their living in Kingston is they can go about town, maneuver through town, and, you know, no one bugs them. Everyone's
people
very
are
respectful.
Pretty respectful. Yeah.
Very respectful. And, Rob is in a that sounds so weird. Kingston director presented me with a script after my book came out, and he wrote a script loosely based on the book, loosely based on my life. It's called Still Alive in Kingston. So we started filming. He asked me to play myself in the lead role. I'm not an actor, man, but the script was just way too funny.
You're playing you as well.
Hilarious.
That's, you know, that's...
So I said, yeah. So we've been filming for about 5 months now. It's called Still Alive in Kingston. You can just Google that. Oh, and there's a crowdfunding campaign to see the end to the film. It'll premiere.
Where do people find that?
Just Google Still Alive in Kingston. There's an Indiegogo crowdfunding, and it'll debut at the Kingston Canadian Film Festival in February. Anyway, there's a scene which I'm interviewing Baker as myself. And he's playing himself. And it was like 2 pages of dialogue in the script. And the director says, do you think we can get Rob Baker? I said, I don't know. Let me email him. he got back and said, yeah, I'll do it. Sounds fun. I'm not an actor, though. So I had the director prepare cue cards just in case Rob needed to look at them during his lines, have them ready.
Yeah.
He walked in and he nailed the 2 pages of the script just like that. Like, that's how professional they are, too. Like, you know, just beautiful human beings. Anyway, that film will be out in February.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's, again, it's called Still Alive in Kingston.
Still Alive in Kingston, yeah.
Cool. And that's your acting debut.
I've done some short films before.
Ah.
Some minor things, but this is like a lead.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Baker, you get to see his acting chops. He's really good.
Damn. Is there anything these guys aren't good at?
I'm trying to think. No, pretty much everything.
They're pretty good at everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, it's like I say, it's great that you took the time to do this. I really appreciate your time.
Continued success to do what you're doing as well. Way to go.
Well, we're flying the flag, right?
Yep.
That's right.
No, nothing wrong with that.
And that's what I've got for you this day in February. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Please share and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends so they can enjoy the fun as well. And hey, make sure you block off October 4th on your calendar. It's going to be a blast. Thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.